I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be Jesus than anything this old world affords today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often find.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Garner. God bless you. Two of my favorite songs, two of my mother's favorite songs. And thank you very much for singing them. Open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I want to say to you, it's a joy to have Mikey Gonzalez in our service this morning. Mikey had a terrible accident on a four-wheeler the day after Thanksgiving, was in a coma for almost 2 months, around 2 months, and when he began to wake up, he began to make marvelous progress. Mikey, stand up so our people can see you, how handsome you look. Isn't that great? I believe he's grown. Now, Mikey's my friend, and I'm going to help him. Especially ladies. When you go to see him, smile, shake hands with him, and say hi. We're glad you're doing well. Don't hug him. These old women hugging Mikey is scaring him to death. He's about to go back into a coma. So just shake his hand, tell him how much you love him and how happy you are for him. And you know, he's just 13 years old. And he needs your help. You like that? I didn't like to be hugged. All right, if you found your place in Hebrews chapter 9, stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And I want to read two verses and then we'll begin to read in verse 22. In verse number 12 of that chapter, Hebrews 19, the Bible says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, Jesus entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Then in verse number 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without a spot to God and purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And now in verse number 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And out without shedding of blood is no remission." He's talking about remission of sins. "And it was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." God required in the Old Testament economy that lambs and bullocks and goats be sacrificed and their blood used in a ceremony to typify and picture Jesus, who would come and shed His blood one time to purchase eternal redemption for us. "And it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these," purified with blood, "but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And yet, that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often to suffer since the foundation of the world." He said if the blood of Jesus was not complete and did not do a perfect, complete time, then he would have to have been offered like bulls and goats over and over and over again. And those things pertaining to the sacrifice of Jesus, picturing that on the earth, was a constant reminder throughout all of days gone by before Jesus ever came that he was going to come and die and shed his blood as remission or for remission of our sins. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world," that is the end of the ages, we're in the last days, the church age. The church age will end with the rapture of the church. So this is the end of the world, with the end of the ages, as the Word of God is stating it. "Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I want us to look at verse number 26 again and use it as the foundation for our message. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. According to the scripture, when Jesus came and offered himself, it began the last days, the end of the ages. The next event on God's calendar of prophecy is the second coming of Christ for the saved. That's known as the rapture in theology. But right now, we're waiting for that. And right now, it's harvest time. And right now, it's time to tell that marvelous story that Jesus has suffered and bled and died to purchase eternal salvation for all who believe. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Christ's great sacrifice for sin. Heavenly Father, help me as I bring this message. Use it to open hearts and minds to the Word of God. Use it to bring faith into the hearts and lives of men and women today that need to be saved. Give them enough faith to believe that Jesus did die like the Bible testifies. He paid our sin debt one time and for all time on that old rugged cross. That though he was dead and buried 3 days and three nights later, right on time according to the scripture, he arose from the grave. He has free and forever salvation for all who will trust him as Savior. Give me liberty and power. Thank you, Father, for letting us feel well today. For a month we've been struggling. And thank you that we can speak with our voice close to normal today. Now, Lord, use the message. Save the lost. Do a work in the hearts of your children. Bring great conviction upon those that are harboring and living in sin. And Lord, we especially thank you today for Mikey Gonzalez getting to be with us. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm afraid that we who call ourselves children of God and we gather to worship on the Lord's Day have come to the place where we take Calvary for granted. It has become old to many, and to many it's lost its sweetness. This grand old story of redemption does not thrill us as it ought to and as it used to thrill Christians. The problem is not with the cross. The problem is not with God's redemption plan. The problem is within our own hearts and the coldness of our own souls. It's my purpose this morning to bring you once again back to the cross and bring to light again the story of Christ's great sacrifice for our sin. What Christ meant to do on the cross, he actually did. He did not die in vain or leave his work half done. Not all that he intended by laying down his life on the cross was accomplished. He did not die to make sinners savable. He died to save them completely. He did not die so the lost could put away his sin by some effort of his own will. He died to put away the sinner's sin by the power of his own shed blood once and for all. In our scripture, we're told that the blood of calves and goats could never take away sin. But now once in the end of the world hath Jesus appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's our text verse. And it's my goal today to point out five thoughts in reference to Christ's great sacrifice for sin. Thought number one, Christ's great sacrifice reveals the most horrible plague of human history, the plague of sin. AIDS is horrible, but not everybody has AIDS, and nobody has to have AIDS. Cancer's terrible, but not everybody suffers with cancer. But this sin problem affects us all. And it's a plague that no doctor can cure. It's a plague that you cannot avoid. It's a plague that has separated man from God and killed the spirit of man so that man without Christ can have no relationship with God. It affects every one of us. It started with Adam, and it's passed on to every generation through the fathers. But Jesus came once in the end of the world to put away sin, and put away sin by His own death and by His own suffering. What a little word sin is. And yet it has connected with it every evil, horrible, ugly, wretched thought and action known to mankind. It's got the same letters in it as God, S-I-N, just three letters. But when you say sin, you can hear the hiss of the serpent, the old devil, who is the father of it. What is sin? Bible says sin is transgression of the law. It's transgression against God. It's rebellion against the King of glory. Sin is the violation of the law of right. Sin is commission of all manner of wrong. Sin is in every one of us, and we have all committed sin, and we've all been defiled by sin, and there's none righteous, no, not one. Christ came not to make this world a better place, not to be a good example for us. He came with one purpose in mind, and that was to put away sin by the sacrifice of His own life on Calvary, one time forever. All the evil and the wickedness and the wrong of the entire world is put into one word, sin. And Christ, by the sacrifice of Himself, once on Calvary, has made it possible to put away sin and the guilt and the condemnation forever and forever, but only through Christ. All of the acts of sin, all of man's omissions, all of man's commissions, and all the acts of rebellion that ever were in the world were all piled upon Christ. Hill of sin on top of sin, mountain on top of mountain. That day on Calvary, God called it all by one name, sin. And God judged it as He poured out His wrath upon Jesus that day on Calvary. Now the thing that makes sin so awful is that sin makes man obnoxious to God. I don't like to be there's some people that are repulsive. Some people are just obnoxious. You don't want to be around them. This is what sin does to man. It makes man repulsive and obnoxious in the sight of God. Man is a creature God loves. But sin in man God cannot love. It's repulsive to a thrice holy God to love sin. God is pure. He's holy. He cannot bear impurity. He cannot look upon iniquity without hating it. His anger burns against sin, and His wrath was poured out on sin that day on Calvary where Jesus died. This is why sin should be so awful to us, because it makes us obnoxious to God. God cannot accept us until that sin has been paid for and put away. And not one person in here can pay for their own sin and put it away and be acceptable to God. Now, I want to clarify that and say you can pay for your own sin. But in order to do so, you'll go to hell forever and ever and ever without hope, without God, without end. But Jesus came to put away our sin for us by putting it upon Himself and paying for it, satisfying the demands of God against sin by taking all our sin upon Himself. And that day on Calvary, when God put a crepe of black darkness over the earth at noonday, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was abandoned by God like God will abandon a sinner in hell. And God poured out His judgment and wrath on Christ on the cross for us, that we might have life everlasting. Another thing that makes sin so bad is that sin requires judgment and punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All who have committed sin is exposed to the wrath of God against sin. God will not allow one sin to go unpunished. My dear friend, why some people think they can get into heaven without getting redeemed, without getting saved, without having their sin washed away by the blood of Jesus, is a mystery to me, when God said, nothing that defileth shall enter into that city. Nothing. Wherever there is sin, there must be penalty. The Bible says, God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Where there is sin, there must be punishment. My dear friend, every man and woman here, your conscience knows that there's a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I have people say, oh, I can't believe it. Those same people believe in heaven without redemption. They believe in going to heaven without being saved. They believe the Bible truth about heaven but reject the Bible truth about salvation and Jesus and deliverance from hell. Where sin is, sin must be judged. Sin brings with it judgment and punishment. And the ultimate punishment is when that man or woman dies without Christ and is cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Christ left the throne of glory to come down Himself to this old wicked world, to take our sin upon Him, in order that He might put away man's sin by dying on the cross, a sinless sacrifice. And He only had to die one time. And it purchases eternal redemption for all who will accept Christ. Sin is awful because it shuts the door of hope to men and women unless it's taken away. The guilty cannot dwell with God while they are guilty. The sinner cannot be cleansed from sin before they come to the cross where they can be saved. Nothing that defileth shall enter into heaven. And if the sinner is not pardoned of his sin, he must be banished from God and heaven forever. Nothing we can do makes us acceptable. Nothing we can do can wash away our sin debt. Nothing can satisfy the demands against our sins before God. Nothing we can do can put them away until we come to Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without Jesus, there is no reconciliation with God. Without Jesus, there is no heaven. And without Jesus, you miss the greatest possibilities of this life. Because my dear friend, sin and Satan does not offer you the greatest possibilities in life on earth. Secondly, I want to point out to you the wonderful remover of sin. The Bible says in verse number 26, "Now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Who is this marvelous He person? Who was it that undertook the great task of removing the mountains of sin and guilt from us? Who is this being that has appeared to put away our sin? Well, I'm glad to tell you it's not just another man. It's God Himself in human form. It's Jesus Christ. It's God incarnate in human flesh. It is man that is as much man as if it had never been God, and as much God as if it had never been man. Like man in every way except He has no earthly father and He has no sin. And yet He took our sin and put it upon Him. And the Bible says He became sin for us. And that day on Calvary when God was judging sin, He was judging His sinless Son who had taken all of the sin of the world upon Himself. You see, here's what God did. God put into practice the doctrine of imputation. He took man's sin and imputed all of our sin to Christ on the cross. And now when man comes to Christ, God takes all of the righteousness of Christ and imputes to that sinner. And when God looked at Jesus, He saw all of the sinful men and all of the sinful women and all of the sinful people of the world, and He judged that sin. And now then, when we come to Christ as individuals, God looks down and sees the righteousness of Christ in us. Our sin has been blotted out. Our sin has been removed. It's been covered. It's been forgiven. It's been blotted out of His memory, out of His mind, out of the book, and will never be remembered again, because He came one time in the end of the world to put away sin in Himself. And He did it for us. It's Jesus, folks. It's Jesus, the one that ought to be preeminent in every one of our lives. You can never do for yourself what Christ has done for us when He sacrificed Himself on the cross. You can do nothing about it and still go to hell in your sin. You can reject Him and suffer in hell forever for your sin. But He has done what we cannot do. He gave Himself a sinless sacrifice for our sin, and we as individuals can come to Him and simply ask Him by faith to forgive our sins. He'll bring about the work of the new birth in our life. He'll forgive our sins, blot them out, remove them, cover them by His blood. We'll never remember them again. He'll blot them out of His own book in heaven so they're never against us. He makes us His. His. You know what the Bible calls Christians? Saints. By the will of God. Saints. We're not saints because we do a miracle and a group of cardinals investigate and vote to make us saints. Oh no. We're made saints by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. We go from sinner to saint by the shed blood of Jesus and our personal faith and trust and dependence on Him. Whew. Thirdly, in order that our sin could be put away, could be paid for, and that sinners could be saved, Christ had to come from heaven to the cross. He could not sit on the throne in heaven and do the work of putting away our sin. He had to come down. Our text says He appeared. He who is God, He is who is Creator, He who is Lord of lords and kings of kings, became lowly man and gave Himself a bloody sacrifice unto God for us to put away our sin. Christ had only one mission on earth, and that was to put away sin. He didn't come as a great teacher. He didn't come as a good example. He didn't come so He could make the world a better place to live. When He was born a babe in Bethlehem's manger, His mission was to put away sin. When He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was still to put away sin. When He went through the trials and the beatings and the mockery, He was on that mission, bearing our sin in Himself to die for it, that He might put away sin forever. Calvary and that old rugged cross was just a part, a requirement to put away our sin. It all had but one purpose. He appeared to put away sin for us. Fourthly, in order to put away our sin, Christ had to sacrifice Himself. Little lambs were no longer needed. You see, they were but a picture. And up in eternity, every time they'd offer those lambs and bullocks, the Son of God would see it and say, "That's me in the fullness of time, coming to put away their sin one time forever." Over and over again, that sacrifice was offered, just reminding them that Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming. The Savior was coming. The one God intended to be our sin sacrifice was on His way. My dear friend, our salvation could not have been purchased without Christ's bloody sacrifice. The lambs, the bulls, the goats were but a picture of the real sacrifice for sin, Jesus Christ. Notice, unlike the lambs and the bullocks and the goats, Jesus did not have to come back over and over and over again to die on the cross. He died one time. And when we come to God by faith in Jesus Christ and His death for us on Calvary, God accepts the suffering of Jesus as payment for our sin debt. One time He suffered to put away our sin forever. And that's the reason we don't have to get born again and again and again and again. Because Jesus purchased perfect salvation, complete salvation, finished salvation, so much so that God looked down and saw the travail of His Son and said, "I'm satisfied. It's paid for." Whew. Christ only must be accepted by the sinner by faith. And what we must accept Him now by faith. It's not something we do after we die. It's not something we do after Jesus comes back again at the rapture. It must be done now in this life, or you will have been that person that has chosen to live without Christ and to die without Christ. And forever you'll be without Christ. No second chances. Time is now. And then lastly, I want you to look for just a moment at Christ's great achievement. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Everything about sin that God hates, Christ paid for it. Forgave it, neutralized it, blotted it out in God's sight. Sin has made man obnoxious to God. But Christ's sacrifice of Himself for sin makes us acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. We're reconciled. That means we're no longer enemies. There's no longer barriers between the saved and God. Reconciliation means that man has been reconciled to God and God has been reconciled to man. We who were apart because of sin have been brought together by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. One time on the cross of Calvary, forever. Now then, we're not enemies, but we're sons. Heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus. We're a part of God's redeemed family. And accepting Christ changes our life here and changes our eternal destiny. When sin is put away, man is forgiven. When man is forgiven, he is saved. And when man is saved, he is promised heaven. He has a new life here and a future in eternity to look forward to. All of this happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. He alone is the one who offered Himself as the sacrifice for our sin. He alone must be accepted by you and me as payment for our sin. I've got to ask two questions and I'll be through. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If not, will you accept Him today as your Savior? Because He came to die to put away your sin as much as He did mine. But you must accept Him. Everybody who's ever gotten saved, everybody who'll go to heaven, got saved the same way. By faith in Jesus Christ, who appeared once in these last days, put away sin in the sacrifice of His own life, His own body upon the cross. I can look back and remember as a 15-year-old teenage boy when I accepted Christ as Savior. It was August the 23rd, 1954. I remember it because Mama wrote it down. But if I didn't have a date, nobody here could persuade me I'm not saved. Because I was there that day when I called upon Jesus to be my Savior. He is real and salvation is real. And it'll be real in your life if you'll accept Him. Father, that's our message this morning. Just a simple message about Jesus who gave Himself a sacrifice.